Blog Talk Radio.
I had a dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press, and you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm and keep our country deep in debt, put men of God in jail, harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn. And your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Oh, sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you were asleep and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave, "Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave?" God bless you, and God bless this republic.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Hey, Mr. Politician, living on that hill, living in that lap of luxury, all we the people still don't have a clue how the other half.
Good morning and welcome to the Jim Dunzen Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. It is August 24th, 2012, Open Line Friday. Here to begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio. The number to join us, 347-324-3704. That number is listed on top of the website at freedomizerradio.com. Go there, scroll down about halfway down the page. You will see a link to listen live and a link to select archives, as well as a chat room with discussion focusing on the show and topics completely unrelated to the show, all right there at your fingertips, freedomizerradio.com. Again, Open Line Friday. The show normally and always, in fact, features opinions so good they ought to be yours. But on Friday, we make a special attempt to feature your opinions as well. The number is 347-324-3704. 347-324-3704. I'm not sure what to cover first this morning. The event in Tampa or this shooting in New York. There are, we may get a call actually, so I think I'll skip to the other one. We may get a call on the Ron Paul issues. I put out a request, I put out a request for the Clark County Republican chair, who's one of the biggest Ron Paul supporters there is, and one of the reasons he won, frankly, Nevada. She's going to be involved in some rules committee issues where the establishment Republicans are trying to ignore their own rules when it's convenient for them, and seat delegations which are not Ron Paul delegations. And a whole bunch of other shenanigans that I'm sure I'm unaware of because I'm not on the ground there in Tampa. We may get a call on that if she can take herself away from the committee activity without hurting the cause sometime in the next hour. So we're going to jump. We'll come back to that, whether we get a call or not, probably after the break. But we're going to jump to the breaking news here. It seems Mayor Bloomberg was correct. Mayor Bloomberg, you'll remember some time ago after the Batman shooting by the James Holmes, who was inspired by somebody and equipped by somebody, although trained as well as an ATF agent or an FBI agent in certain fields. After that shooting, Mayor Bloomberg came out, and we supported it here on this show. Bloomberg came out for a call of all officers to lay down their weapons until the American people are completely disarmed. Here, the headline out of CNN, updated at just 45 minutes ago. A gunman fatally shot a former co-worker in the head outside the Empire State Building Friday morning before he was killed by police officers, says New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly. Details obviously are still breaking. The suspect, 53-year-old Jeffrey Johnson, was a, quote, disgruntled former employee of a company located inside the Empire State Building. As he tried to flee the scene, a construction worker alerted two police officers who pursued him down 33rd Street. Johnson pulled a .45 caliber gun on the approaching police officers, but it is the exact language in the article, but it not clear if he actually shot, apparently. Anderson Lamont Cooper, CNN, beginning to reach out to the Bonnet crowd. But it not clear if he actually shot any rounds as police opened fire on him, Kelly said. Nine people were wounded or grazed in the crossfire. some may have been accidentally shot by police officers. And down here lower somewhere, there's a ton of updates in this story, which has moved the quote, I think, that I found earlier. Let's see it somewhere. Mayor Bloomberg has confirmed that several of those shot were probably shot. Yes. Mayor Michael Bloomberg said, this is out of the AP, said some of the 9 wounded may have been shot by police in the mayhem. And so here we have, so if Mayor Bloomberg had been listened to by the officers of New York, these fellows here who shot innocent bystanders, probably it seems like more innocent bystanders were shot by the cop. It says gunman killed 1, wounds 8 at Empire State Building, but I don't see a discussion here of the here it says the 9 people wounded in the gunfire after 9 a.m. on the 5th Avenue side of the building were expected to survive. After the shootout, crowds of tourists and people on their way to work gathered along 34th Street, which was shut down by police. Police helicopters buzzed overhead, and swarms of officers were gathered around the crime scene. Their version of events says a construction worker followed Johnson. See, maybe we should just arm the construction workers. They seem to have more level heads. Then spoke to police nearby. Johnson turned his .45 caliber pistol on officers, and they returned fire, Kelly said. Johnson was shot and killed by police. Kelly is the police commissioner, not the construction worker. So in one story we hear that the guy who had just shot the people may not have fired any rounds at all once confronted by the police, and that all of the innocent bystanders that were shot there were shot by police. They should get training. Lots of them in their use of lethal force. And rule, there's only 4 rules of marksmanship or firearm safety. And one of them is to be sure of your target, what's in front of it, and what's beyond it, so that you don't accidentally shoot something you don't intend to immediately destroy. A man-sized target with a trained pistol user is a big target. These officers should have been able to get, especially if they outnumber the guy, to each of them guarantee 1 good shot. That's 3 or 4. How many officers are there? Good shots. Plus, then guarantee as many follow-up shots as they need to until the threat is neutralized. Instead, they're trained to spray and pray. That's their training. They're told to stand however they want, however feels comfortable, and just try to hit the target. And the result is, I've run firearms contests between police officers when when I was in law school, I was helping to range master a contest between the three counties there in near the North Porter County Conservation Club. And the best shooters of the force, because they picked a team to go represent them. And so it was like a 3 or 5 person team, I forget. But they came out, and there were some, I was just joining the club at the time, and there was some discussion that the officers didn't want a team of club members also entered in the competition, although we were volunteering our facility and club work with Tom to help facilitate the event. They didn't want it to shoot with civilians. And for them, it's probably a good thing because the force of fire they happened to use was the same as the force of fire that was used the following day at a steel plate competition. And so basically it's this. There's 5 steel plates at the end of the range, say 20 yards away. About the size of a dinner plate. 5 of the dinner plates are painted white. 1 of them is painted black. They're all attached to a little lever. This is all steel, not ceramic. And so when a pistol round hits it, it flips down. Doesn't punch a hole in it, but knocks it down. And you have to shoot all 5 white plates, and then shoot the black plate. If you shoot the black plate before you shoot all 5 white plates, there's some huge penalty, which means you're going to lose that round. I forget the exact numbers, but the penalty was huge, and if you shot the plate, you weren't going to win the round. And the goal of that, of course, is to make it so that you don't just get kind of a flash sight picture on all 5 white targets and continue on to the black one before taking time to assess whether the white plates are down before you shoot the black one. In the private competition the day after, same course of fire because we were too lazy to move the stage, there's 6 plates. I competed in it with a standard 1911 with a standard 8-round magazine. So did all the other 1911 shooters. Because if you didn't get all 6 plates on your first shot, you were not going to be in contention to win anyway. And if you use all 9 rounds, you would have them, 1 in the chamber and 8 in the magazine. If you use all 9 rounds in that competition, you weren't going to be anywhere near the money. Well, the day before this, I saw multiple officers shoot the slide line. You shooters out there know what that means. That means the gun was shot empty. All the bullets in the magazine were fired out. And the slide came back, tried to pick up another round that wasn't there. And the magazine catch was enabled. And the slide was prevented, locked back, prevented from going forward. You then have to perform what's called an emergency reload and continue firing. This was back in the days when the Clinton gun ban, the unconstitutional Clinton gun ban, was going on. And so they were the only people on the range with 25-round magazines. I think they had 23-round magazines in the Glock magazine. Everybody else had at most 10. You didn't see anybody shoot the slide lock on, I think it was a Sunday, that followed the Saturday competition. Nobody amongst the private shooters who trained themselves and who were trained professionally but were accomplished shooters. You didn't see any of them shoot the slide lock with at most 10 round magazines. And the attitude is very different. The attitude amongst the private shooters was that they were there to win the contest. They were there to do their best, not because they cared about the trophy. I don't even think there was a trophy. Only because they were honing their skills and training themselves that should they need to use lethal force. They wanted one to make sure they stopped the piece of shit that was trying to come after them. And two, to make sure they didn't get anybody else they didn't intend to get. They didn't want to shoot their kids or their wife or their family or their friends or innocent bystanders. The attitude of the officers, and I've heard it several times, is, well, as long as I'm not last, they were starting the stage already mentally defeated because they knew they were not trained. Now, if you know you're not trained and capable of a standard course of fire, a steel plate shoot, how afraid, at least in the back of your mind, probably not in the conscious part of these minds, at least in the back of your mind, how afraid do you have to be of having to use your gun if you know you can't do it? If you know that at your best, when you pull out your gun, you're hoping to hit somewhere near where you're aiming, you're not confident that you can do it. How much extra fear is embedded automatically in that person? It's a lot. And that's probably what we saw here in New York. There is no reason for that amount of innocent bystanders to be shot by those coming to the rescue, except a lack of training, an institutionalized lack of training at police departments across the country, and an attitude that says it's okay to do that. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunzing Show on Open Line Friday. Here as we begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. The number to join us is 347-324-3704. 347-324-3704.
This is something that is an intellectual fight. It's an intellectual. We have to know what we want. We have to be convinced that freedom works. We have to be convinced that we cannot depend on others, and we don't have any right to tell other people what to do. And if we did that, if we used that golden rule on interpersonal relationships, we ought to know how to use the golden rule on international relationships. If we don't want other countries doing anything to us, we shouldn't do it to them either.
I've been blinded by the light and swirling by the darkness, but now that I'm awake, grab your lighters and let's spark this debate for the fate of our nation and lives. This stuff is important to both left and right sides, so vote for the guy who's been consistent and strong, the defender of freedom who's been right all along. His name is Ron Paul, this here's my endorsement. It may not mean much, but together we're flawless, unstoppable. Unless they rig the election, which they probably will, then shit's gonna get hectic, but they can't stop the landslide, whatever they do. And he can win win by a landslide if his message gets through. It's a message of hope for a peaceful tomorrow, and a message of joy for our world full of sorrow. So do the right thing, please vote with your heart, and be
Martin
a true
King,
hero
Rosa Parks,
country
Gandhi,
above.
They're the heroes of mine in practice of civil disobedience to try to get the burden of government on our backs, and that's why I'm the one that protects the individual blacks who are in the city who are so unfairly being treated and thrown in prison. That's the message that needs to be heard, and I'd appreciate somebody helping bring that up rather than nitpicking over something done many years ago.
Ron Paul, victory coming soon if you stand with the man who's been fighting for you. He's been called an old loon just for telling the truth. He's been blacked out, scared, ridiculed on the news, but the establishment's scared. Just look at the proof. Ron Paul's the only candidate for the youth. And now that they're dying, it's even more vital. His sayings are scripture, like here in the Bible. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not speak if thou art not real. Thou shalt not torture, thou shalt not tax the wage of a man who's been breaking his back. Thou shalt not break a constitutional oath. Thou shalt not skew the results of a vote. Thou shalt not go invading a nation without Congress's vote and a clear mission statement.
We need a strong national defense, and we need to only go to war with a declaration of war.
But if our national security is threatened, if the evidence is presented to the Congress, I'd ask them for a declaration of war. But then it would be all out. I mean, I would know exactly who the war is clearly against.
And fight the war, win it,
and get it over with. But it would be much more precise.
The world's been waking up. We need a revolution. We'd like a peaceful change, and we keep our constitution. That's why the doctor flew in to fix the sick nation. From that death, war, and hyperinflation.
Okay.
We've got a lot of patience, but we haven't got the time. We gotta spread his message, because the media's been lying. They keep saying he can't win, while he's the people's choice. If you read between the headlines, that means we don't have a voice. Damn! Is this the land of the free? So where the one we elect really speaks for the people? Man, or are we just sheeple who go with the flow and don't see their evil? I really don't know if America can make it, but I really do hope we the people will awaken before it's too late. Please answer the call. Elect for president the good Dr. Ron Paul.
This idea that you have to give up so much of your liberties to be saved? That's nonsense. You don't have to give up any liberties to be saved.
Don't have true liberty, the wealth cannot last. It's been decades of bad economic ideas and bad foreign policy and bad monetary policy. That's where the problem is.
He's a man with a plan for the countries you love. Only he understands enough is enough. Enough for the tax, enough for the spending, enough for these wars that appear never ending. Unless we elect us a principled person who will do what it takes to reverse this curse and end the Fed. We're in the red and end these wars before we end up dead.
Ron Paul 2012.
And welcome back to the Jim Dunning Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. Here is to begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. It is still August 24th, 2012. That means it is Open Line Friday. The number to join us, 347-324-3704. 347-324-3704. Well, in Tampa this weekend, and starting Monday, we'll see the show. The Republican Party is going to nominate its candidate for president. The candidates are nominated at the convention. There is a big primary process beforehand, which is designed to determine the delegates to the convention. The delegates at the convention choose the nominee. At this convention, most of them throughout, well, actually every single one of them in my lifetime, has been a show. There has been a backroom deal cut by the delegates, and they have had a unanimous declaration. I'll give you two quick examples. In 1980, Ronald Wilson Reagan had won the nomination, but was told by surrogates for his competitor, George Herbert Walker Bush. In 1980, they ran against each other for the nomination. It was going to be a Reagan-Ford ticket, I believe. But at the last minute, Bush wanted on the ticket. And he told Reagan, my hypothesis after studying the history, that he wanted on the ticket because he already had March of 1981 planned in the back of his head. He told Reagan that if he did not put himself on the ticket, then there would be a brokered convention. George Herbert Walker Bush would tell his delegates to vote for him, and there would be a split. And in the event of a brokered convention, Reagan was assured that he would not win the nomination. So it was basically, put Bush on as your running mate, or we'll steal the election from you. Now, he had lost to the Republican establishment in 76, although it appears to me, I wasn't born then, but it appears to me from the study of history, that he had a majority of votes in the room. After he gave his speech, there was more applause for him than there was for the nominee. In 1980, he had beaten that establishment again and walked into the convention weekend thinking he was going to be the nominee until confronted with that part of the establishment. In this most recent Democratic primary that was highly contested, and indeed there was an argument going into even that weekend that it might be a contested convention. It had lawyers for the Clintons challenging processes that they might broker and contest the convention until Hillary Clinton got what she wanted, which was all of her entire staff from the Clinton White House, and she picked a lot of them, all of her staff from the Clinton White House to be reinstituted, basically, and a big homecoming in the Obama administration. The Clinton White House is a who's who of the Obama administration, and it's not by accident. It was part of the deal. A trusted Democrat from back in the Waco investigation days was put in as vice president. Hillary, who didn't know whether she wanted to be on the Supreme Court or vice president, she couldn't make up her mind, eventually settled on Secretary of State because she figured that would best benefit her eventual future run for the nomination. She then, in a big show, was the one to either nominate Obama or put him over the top in her carpetbag state of New York for the 2008 nomination. In this convention, there will not be that kind of brokering. There will not be that kind of split. This convention is composed not of the typical kind of delegates that used to go to these conventions. They were party people. They had some job in government. They had some job in the party. And so they became the delegates to the convention. They were establishment types, and it was a patronage system. And you got to go, and it was big parties. And with a chance to make national contacts, up-and-comers and long-standing establishment types would all go to the national convention. And that's still there on one side. That's the Romney delegate side. On the other side, you have the Ron Paul delegates. And they are not there for any other reason this weekend but to vote for Ron Paul. If they do anything else, it's secondary to every single one of them voting for Ron Paul until he wins or until he loses. They're going to stand there and vote for Ron Paul. Now, the news coming out of Tampa is that there have been, looks like, certified 5 delegations with a plurality of votes for Ron Paul. Those 5 delegations guarantee that Ron Paul's name, according to the rules, will be entered into nomination. That means a brokered convention. But not a brokered convention of the past. You have a brokered convention with one group of hardcore people who are only going to vote, no matter what, for one candidate. On the other side, you have political hacks who don't want Ron Paul, frankly. They don't see Ron Paul as a Republican because he's not pro-war, he's not big government, he's not big Republican government, he's small constitutional government. So they would rather see any other big Republican government guy win the nomination. They're not sold on Romney. The only thing they liked about Romney to begin with was that Fox News told them he could win. Fox News said over and over and over again, Romney can beat Obama, so much that the idiots believed it. Although, frankly, I think he was one of the least capable candidates in the field of beating Obama. But if the Fox News listening audience is going to be so uncritical of its news source that it simply believes that problem because it's repeated enough times, perhaps they deserve to lose. But at any rate, you have these 2 factions, and there's not going to be a deal struck. Normally, when you have these factions, there's a deal struck. And so-and-so gets a speaking spot in prime time, and so-and-so gets on the ticket, or there's a major change in, say, even the platform, depending on the size of the candidate and the delegates in the dispute. Everybody gets dealt in and gets something. In this one, if the Republican Party has its platform talk about ending the Fed, or even a meaningful audit of the Fed on the way towards putting our economy back on a solid commodity footing, that's not going to change the votes for president. You're still going to see that delegation, those hardcore Ron Paul people, they're not going to come back to their hometowns and look at the faces of all the people who made phone calls and all the people who walked doors and say, well, once I got to Tampa, I couldn't vote for Ron Paul. Now, that happened out here. This is a warning to all of you who are in other states who may not know this. That happened here in Nevada. There were, in 2008, not this time, 2008, there were a handful of delegates who were elected according to the proper process in Nevada. The establishment then did what they've done in a lot of states this year nationally, hijacked the convention. They used fraud and deception and coordination to steal the delegation. They told everybody, a call came in from the national headquarters and from the McCain camp, that if you're for McCain or you're for the party, you are to leave the floor of the convention, thus breaking quorum. They did break quorum. When they did, who touted himself as the most libertarian Republican, he was the guy who always want to talk about tax cuts and how bad the Democrats were. When he came to be budget chair, the chair of the budget committee, that committee, and then the assembly, voted for the largest tax increase in the history of the state. But he touted himself as the most conservative, or the most libertarian conservative, and said at the time he was a Ron Paul supporter. But once the throngs of establishment party folks were out the door, he gaveled the convention closed, gaveled it back open again, and while everybody's outside, gaveled it back open again, and a handful of party officials adjourned the convention under some parliamentary procedural nonsense, adjourn the convention, and then tell the delegates that they had to stop the convention because they were not sure they would finish in the time allotted by the hotel where they reserved the room. Just they weren't sure, so they had to end the convention. Purely pretextual reasons. But further, the executive committee of the party was going to count the votes for delegates. You're going to go home and cool off, and then we're going to mail in delegate ballots, and we'll count them and tell you how it went. But no, we won't give you a list of who's a delegate to this state convention. That information is secret. This guy who did that, his name is Bob Beers. He's now on the city council in Las Vegas, a turncoat who deserves his political career to be over. He did lose his seat in the assembly, but after some years, apparently enough people have forgotten, and he's back on one of the, with constant support from the political establishment, back on one of the lower rungs of the political ladder. That happened in Nevada. But that meant that four or five people had been nominated by the process, and they were going to Tampa as well, they were at Minneapolis as well, along with the other hand-picked establishment folks. And it got to crunch time, and these folks talked to Ron Paul and shook his hand, and face-to-face he told them they didn't have to vote for him. And all of them took, and I think all of them regret it not. And they voted, they didn't vote for Ron Paul. I don't know if they abstained or if they voted for McCain, but they did not vote for Ron Paul. One of those people is Carl Bunce. Go talk to Carl if you're a delegate and you want to know how this feels. Okay? This, I think, is one of the main reasons Carl has worked so hard to get Ron Paul. Carl was tireless in this campaign to get Ron Paul the nomination. And I think it was because he very much regretted having not voted his conscience. He was not in any way a supporter of John McCain. He was there only for Ron Paul. And I think his conscience has bothered him. He's passed 4 years. And he's used that to fuel this campaign in 2012. And perhaps that conversation in 2008 was about having a 2012 campaign and not angering establishment folks by brokering this convention when you couldn't win it. This is the 2008 convention. But at any rate, I think it was Carl's and some of the other folks who didn't vote their conscience. It was that gave them the energy because of how embarrassed they were once they got home and away from the city there where all the Republican folks were gathered. Once they got on that flight home and realized what they had done and who they were going home to face, and maybe even before that, they felt very bad about it. Ron Paul's not going to run again. You're not going to get the chance that Carl has to go back and vote for Ron Paul, I guarantee you, this time around, Carl Bunce will be voting for Ron Paul. Guarantee it. He probably will be the one at the microphone voting for Ron Paul as loudly and as often as he can. And so to all of you Ron Paul delegates who were there in Tampa, who wait crunch time, have to decide whether to go with the flow and go with your conscience. Remember the cautionary tale of Carl Bunce. You do not want that on your conscience for the next 4, 8, 12, 16, 20 years. Who knows how long it takes before we get another candidate who inspires people like Ron Paul. You don't want that on your conscience for those number of years. To have the one chance to go back and just cast a vote for freedom. Just cast a vote for it. You've done this much work. You've got to Tampa. A lot of people have worked hard to put you there. A lot of people who should be there have been denied their spot because of shenanigans. That it's your job to be there and fight against. And something tells me that those lessons are understood by, instinctively now, it's 4 years later, by the Ron Paul delegate. And if not, and when it gets to crunch time and you're asked to take a brokered candidate, some other candidate that's not Ron Paul, even if it's that turncoat Guantanamo Bay supporting, Rome supporting, Rand Paul, stay firm, continue to vote for Ron Paul. Rand Paul cannot be on the ticket if Ron Paul is on the ticket. If I were there as a delegate, frankly, I would be turning my back on Rand Paul because he turned his back on the people that made his political career. Nobody got excited about Rand Paul in Kentucky and pushed him locally to be the nominee. He was able to raise lots of money because of his name, because of who his father was and who his supporters were. He turned his back on all that with the support of the torture camp at Gitmo and with his support of Romney in the middle of the primary process. So, one, turn your back on him during his keynote speech, and two, under no circumstances, vote for Rand Paul for the ticket, because Rand Paul cannot be on the ticket if Ron Paul is the nominee. And that's who you were sent there to put on the ticket. We'll have continuing coverage of the Republican convention and the other events. It has been confirmed the shooting in New York. One person was killed by the shooter who got his target for whatever reason. The disgruntled employee wanted to shoot so-and-so in the head. He got the person who was after. The police shot 9 people while trying to get to shoot the shooter. And it is unclear whether any of those bystanders injured were injured by the original shooter, or whether he even fired his weapon once police were there. But 9 people, as well as the shooter, apparently injured by police in New York, will have continuing coverage of that. Oh, by the way, Brandon Robb, we covered that earlier this week on a couple of shows. Brandon Robb has been released, if you haven't heard already. Brandon Robb has been released from the psychiatric unit for believing that this country needs a revolution and that 9/11 was an inside job, and posted such on his Facebook site. Join us here Monday to get more opinions so good they ought to be yours.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
some time to reflect it, to remember how similar we all are. We all want the same thing, a chance to follow our dreams. We are a family of love and liberty. So don't forget.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio. If you're hanging out in Blog Talk, we'd love for you to come by and join us in our live chat room at freedomizerradio.com. You're invited to call in and share in the program 347-324-3704. We'd love to have you join us. Today, the subject is the Stockholm Syndrome. I don't know if you have ever heard of it or understand the implications, but that's what we're going to discuss today. So if you have any personal experience with this kind of an issue, please listen to the introduction and feel free to call in with your personal experiences, comments, or questions. So when is love not love at all, but something else entirely? You and I and everyone else can sometimes become attracted to, fall in love with, or sympathize with people or things that may not at all be what we should be attracted to, love, or sympathize with. I'd like for you to consider this. Is there something or someone in your life other than people, in your life that other people tell you is undermining you or harming you, but you feel positive feelings, strong affection, sympathy, or even love towards that individual or that particular activity? We can come to love and cherish the very person or thing that exploits, abuses, or threatens us. This can happen in an abusive relationship, for example, or when the now-grown-up adult of abusive parents defends those parents in action, even the crimes against them, claiming that they were justifiable. Stockholm Syndrome is the name given to a particular manifestation of this phenomenon, the strange behavior of kidnapped victims who eventually become sympathizers with or even romantically involved or attached to their abductors. But why is this term called the Stockholm Syndrome? Back in 1973 in Stockholm, Sweden, a bank was held siege and some of the employees were kidnapped. They were in danger and they knew it. Amazingly, at the end of the captivity, several of the kidnapped victims resisted attempts to rescue them, and later refused to testify against their former captives. They had somehow come to identify and sympathize with the sources of threat to their personal safety. renowned criminalist and psychiatrist, Niles Berroot, who helped the police during this incident, used the term Stockholm Syndrome to explain the behavior of these victims, and the name stuck. There have been other famous cases of seemingly bizarre Stockholm Syndrome. The most famous of all involved the beautiful, glamorous heiress and granddaughter of publishing magnate William Randolph Hearst, Patty Hearst. Just a year after the Stockholm case, 19-year-old Patty Hearst was kidnapped from the apartment she shared with her fiancé in Berkeley, California, by the self-styled Lebanese Liberation Army. No, Symbionese, sorry. She was blindfolded, kept in a tiny closet for 2 weeks, and was both physically and sexually abused. Despite that, the nation was shocked to see pictures of a gun-wielding Patty threatening staff and customers at a bank in San Francisco in April of 1974. She claimed she had developed a criminal stance. She spent less than 2 years in jail and was eventually pardoned. It has been asserted that she was affected by Stockholm Syndrome. So what's going on, and why does the Stockholm Syndrome happen, and how does it relate to you, me, and everyone else? So this is the topic of conversation today. I would love for you to call in and voice your comments or questions. Looks like we already have a caller, so I'm going to take a caller real quick. Caller from area code 702.
Well, hello, this is Chris from near Las Vegas.
Chris from Las Vegas, nice to meet you. Thanks for calling in.
Well, I think we may have crossed paths in the chat room before, but your topic this morning is most evocative to discussion.
Thank you.
Your observations about Patty Hearst, Scene 2, and the Symbian Lebanese Army, alleged anyway, are most curious and very apropos for today, when
yes,
we know
yes.
that the psychiatrists have allied with the legal mercenaries to contrive a scheme to declare anyone to be mentally deficient and to be able to civilly license themselves to whacking you up with psychotropic mind modification drugs at will for any pretensive story they fabricate out of thin air to remove a vexatious voice of truth speaking.
Yes, that's why I brought the topic up, because it's something that we all have experienced in one way or another in our lives. I think even the most loving and caring parents have become agitated and upset with their children. And yes, one of the things that I wanted to explore is how we get into those relationships and how this all works. So thank you very much for your commentary. Did you have any particular aspect of this that you wanted to share with the audience?
Well, I could meander into that venue you just spoke of and observe that, much like the slow creep of communism, the conversion of a relationship from the loving, caring, doting relationship to an abusive one is never one that's done in a very rapid fashion, but over a long length of time, so that the boiling frog doesn't realize the temperature is being raised in the proverbial pot.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, well, I have some more of this particular subject matter prepared, and I'd like to check back in with you in a few minutes and see if you have some additional commentary on what I've presented. Is that okay?
That would be absolutely marvelous. If you'd like me to hang around, I'll be pleased to.
Oh, I'd love it very much. Okay, I have another caller, and I'd like to take that caller's comments and questions as well. caller from area code 812.
This is a really exciting subject. The Stockholm syndrome is, you know, came to our. I'm an investigative writer, and I'm a kind of an older person, so I've dealt with it from being in the military, from being in, you know, like tied to a chair and beaten, and guns and stuff that happened in my line of work. But what was interesting was when I went into domestic violence because I wanted to learn about it as part of a story, and it really interested me that the when a person is abused, like a child is abused or a woman is abused, they will develop multiple personalities, and they call it multiple personality disorder. And the personality that they develop is a place that they run and hide because they can't deal with the reality of what's happening to them. Now, the correlation between that and the Stockholm syndrome, where the Stockholm syndrome isn't, wouldn't that be very similar, except you might add some type of affection to the captor, as, you know, falling in love with them or seeing their side of the story, which would, I'll stop there.
Okay, no, absolutely, and that's exactly the next little segment of information that I'd like to share with the audience. So if you'd like to hang around for a little bit, I'd love for you to do that.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so loving the hand that beats us. We have become conditioned or brainwashed through emotional intensity. We come to feel that the intensity itself is what's important and even profound, when in fact it's just the intensity. If someone makes us feel strongly emotional in some way, or we become connected to them during a time of strong emotion, then that strong emotion may glue, quote-unquote glue, an emotional connection in place between you and them. It really can be as simple as that. Just as a young child whose panicky mother screamed at him while he put a plastic button in his mouth can go on to develop a terror of buttons, or a woman who can feel so much more attracted to a man and vice versa when they meet high above the ground on a swinging emotional bridge. Misattributing the wildly beating heart to attraction rather than to the danger of the swinging bridge. So, too, can we misinterpret the importance of a person who has power over us. We forget that our efforts to obey and plead are due to our helplessness and attribute them to the importance we feel this person has for us. In everyday life, relationships go stale if people stop caring so much what their partner thinks. They focus less on their partner. If you are kidnapped or otherwise put in sense of danger, then you suddenly have a very intense focus on whoever has abducted you or abused you. What they think and what they do becomes critically important to you. Just as in the first dizzying days of an intense emotional relationship. When kidnapped, you suddenly have a relationship, and it's the intensity and the necessary dependence of this unasked-for situation that can easily tip over into sympathy or even love. And the question is, why is that? The first step towards making someone really dependent on you is to somehow become the sole provider, or at least to appear to be the sole provider of their needs. If you control their need for a sense of safety, attention, and so on, they can, or perceive they can, only in these vital needs from you. They can only get these vital needs from you. Then you force an inevitable sense of intimacy and dependency with them. We see the same thing when a love-struck person declares, "How can I live without you?" It can be that the Stockholm Syndrome is little more than a regression back to the total dependency role that we have as very young children when we rely on our parents for everything. And, of course, we can all relate to that, whether we are just children ourselves or whether we have children of our own. So there's really no mystery to the Stockholm Syndrome. High physiological arousal becomes falsely linked to a sense of attraction rather than just a sense of fear. A person who is kidnapped or abused is forced into a high level of focus on the kidnapper slash abuser. High level of focus is the precursor and mainstay of any intimate relationship. And when someone has total control over whether our basic emotional and physical needs are met, then we develop a total dependence on them. They become parental in a sense, however brutal they may be. We can become grateful for any provision of need. So how does this Stockholm Syndrome concern you and me and anyone else who's ever been in this kind of a situation? All psychological phenomena, such as the Stockholm Syndrome, for example, cognitive dissonance, illuminate the general human condition that influences us all in everyday life. Extreme examples, such as the Hearst kidnapping, merely bring in to focus common elements of human nature and bring them out in stark relief. They may seem alien and mystifying examples of bizarre human behavior, but they are just the far end of a continuum that we all inhabit. We can all become, to some degree, attached to people who manipulate or tyrannize us in some way, making excuses to others for their behavior, all the while becoming hooked on the intensity of the relationship. This is an example. In the UK, people queue up to be scorned and humiliated by Anne Robinson on a TV show called The Weakest Link. Any sign of favor is grasped at gratefully by grown men and women. Women who continually date bastards, or the man attracted to manipulative women, the addicted smoker in love with and held captive by his cigarettes, all show symptoms of the Stockholm Syndrome. When we look for the patterns, then Stockholm hostages, Patty Hearst, and sometimes your neighbor, your loved one, you, experience what most humans do, but not in such a public and stark way. These are bizarre forms of human behavior that are like warning lights, and we should seek to understand why and how they happen in extreme circumstances so that when these things begin to come up in our own lives, we can recognize what they are. Okay, I'm going to ask the two callers who have called and raised their hands if they have any questions or any comments on the subject matter so far. So caller from 702, would you give me your name, please?
Well, it's Chris near Las Vegas again.
Sorry, Chris.
Not a problem. Some would observe that that is precisely the reason that in many cases the victim of a abduction is kept in seclusion for an extended period of time and sensory deprivation. That way, yes, the natural instinct is to lust or desire some form of human contact as our nature requests.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, we can take this whole thing very, very far you can see that an abused child, one that has been beaten and berated, their behavior is berated emotionally. They're abused emotionally. Those children, when given a choice between their parents and another loving adult, will go to the parent because that emotional glue has been set in place.
Yes, in fact, imprinting is what it's called in baby chicks. We sometimes even observe that even feral cats or dogs, if they've been starved and abused, by careful cultivating of the relationship from the hand-to-mouth feeding of those wild critters formerly, can develop a symbiotic dependent relationship that eventually will morph or change into something more social and mutually satisfactional.
Yeah, there are tremendous implications. Our other caller from area code 812, could you tell us your name, please, sir? Caller from area code 812, are you still with us?
Yeah, my name is Michael. I'm sorry, I had mute on.
That's all right. Comments on the subject matter so far?
You know, considering the whole from the beginning to the and what show that we're on, because we're on Freedomizer, the Stockholm Syndrome and what your last caller said, you know, associating it to behavior, can we call, okay, if 35% of America works for the government, you know, and has government jobs, are they going to vote for the president? Is that the Stockholm Syndrome? Are they going to vote for the president to keep their jobs?
Out of fear for keeping their jobs, that's very possible. And that's one of the reasons why this subject was so intriguing to me, not only because of my own personal experience with abusive parents in my childhood, but also because of my awareness of how people in higher places who have knowledge of this particular syndrome, how human psychology works, it's very likely that we could be facing that exact situation.
And that's what bothers me. It bothers a lot of people, and there's a lot of issues resulting from that. Now, if you add in the fact that they purposely manipulated the media for a long time to isolate people, separate them from their families, families were separated, so connections, we became isolated. Okay, so there you go. There's another aspect of the Stockholm Syndrome, the isolation. So we all sit in our rooms on the internet and in the media getting fed whatever we choose, and then we're choosing our boss. I mean, we're choosing our boss, we're choosing our leaders, we're choosing our whatever based on survival rather than based on a philosophical decision that we actually make on what's right or wrong and who is better for, you know, to vote for example.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Now, we're coming at the bottom of the hour, and every 30 minutes we take a little short commercial break here at Freedomizer Radio. So I'd like to do that. And when we come back, you brought up a subject that kind of clicked for me. You said the word military, and I'd like to discuss that when we come back. So hang in there for us, and callers, Michael and Chris, thank you very much for calling in. I'm going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back. So thanks for tuning in. Freedomizerradio.com, if you're listening over on Blog Talk Radio, please come over and join us in the chat room.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hi folks, Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Thursday, for Liberty Underground, The Moretti Report, the best 6 o'clock news on the web. Please join me, as well as my great co-host JoJo Norton, and our chat moderators Lynn and Anna, as we bring you the latest news, current events, analysis, and an occasional featured guest. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Okay, Chris, I've tried to make your mic live again, and it seems that there's a little bit of scratching and some disturbance in there. So I'm going to keep your mic muted except when I come back and specifically address you, if that's okay. Michael, do you have experience in the military yourself?
I was born, my mom and dad were both in the Marine Corps active when I was born in a Marine Corps family. I was born in a Marine Corps hospital. I was in the Marine Corps back during the Vietnam era. And yeah, so I guess yes.
I guess yes.
Which means that honor, which means that as time has went on, including a case that we had about using the military as guinea pigs that went to the Supreme Court, most of us who grew up back then and even some now, it's the hardest thing to deal with is the heartbreak of honor. You know, we're taught honor, we're taught integrity, we're taught to you know, all the boys, basically the Cub Scout, Boy Scout things, you know, and you know, good citizenship and things like that. And then we find out that, I don't know where to go with this because it's a really big and passionate issue with me. And if you're connecting the Stockholm Syndrome to the military, you know, go ahead and take it to the next step, that are there people powerful enough that will lock down our economy and lower the jobs and lower the money available so that they will have a certain percentage that will go and enlist in the military?
Interesting. Well, I do know that they target, that the military targets individuals who may not have or feel that they have another way out. In other words, the military is replacing in some sort of strange fashion the parental role in their
life. The family. The family.
You brought up an interesting topic in that it made me think of something, and let me regather my thoughts here for just a second. And you said something about, well, one of the techniques for developing this dependency is the isolation. And boot camp is an example of that isolation.
I agree. And not only that, but you know what? Something that most people don't realize, in the military and in police training, there's one thing that everybody is taught in those two groups is that the civilian is scum. Okay? Now, they don't do this for meanness. They do this so that you will follow orders. That's the purpose. But they teach, it's part of the process.
Part of the process of also probably lifting the soldier a step above the citizen.
Exactly.
In a hierarchy sort of fashion. The thing that I was trying to wrap my head around there for a second was we have an extremely high number of suicides in the military. And I'm wondering if that is part of the issue. I'm gonna mute your mic for just a second, Michael. We've got some static going on there. That's what I was getting at. What I was trying to get my mind around. We have a high degree of suicide that are happening in the military with this last engagement in Iraq. Is this a symptom of the Stockholm Syndrome gone wrong? The military has... I am not personally involved in the military. I have never been in the military. I have only been able to observe. So I don't have personal experience. And that would be, of course, the ultimate. I'm hoping that perhaps we might be able to pick this subject up at a later date and actually bring in some people who have been in the military who might be able to relate some of these things. But if you instill a sense of honor into an individual and then put them in a situation where they must go against all of their internal human feelings toward other human beings, are you creating such a dichotomy in that person's mind that they can't live with it anymore? And that's the subject that I would like to discuss here a little bit. Do you have any particular experience with that, Michael?
You know what? When I just wrote a really, the suicide rates are always hidden by the government. and they're hidden by the government because it is definitely a sign of the quality of life in a society. And I just wrote a really cool piece about it on my blog and one of my websites. Now, when somebody's coming out of this war, these wars that they're fighting now, mm-hmm. we're finding that they have an average of 6 psychotropic drugs in their bloodstream. Okay? So you take Joe or Mary from Kansas, they're broke. They don't have a job, a life. I mean, you know, they're in trouble, so they go and join the military. And then you're going to tell them to – you're going to give them all this big picture about duty and honor and da-da-da-da-da. Then you're going to send them over there, and what they end up doing is murdering civilian families.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, I can definitely see why – that they think they have no other option but suicide.
This has to create such a deep conflict. It's not, they are not fighting an enemy who's fighting against them. Not what they've been told. This is what it's been drilled into them. Honor, and we're fighting for freedom, and we're, you know, protecting our United States, and then they're sent over there and asked to kill innocent civilians.
And eventually, when you're out there and you're in the field, you know, it's gonna, all the baloney and the drugs are going to wear off, and you're going to walk into you're going to look at a house, or you're going to walk in a house, and you're going to imagine for a second, what if this was my neighbors back in Kansas? You know what I mean? What if somebody did this to my family? How would I feel? How long is it going to take to totally break that human mind? What's happening in the U.S. right now, this is a perfect example of one of the most absolutely despicable things that's ever happened in humankind, is what they're doing to these people to make them go and take these actions against other people. You know, history is going to show human rights violations through the roof.
Oh, yeah. That is absolutely true. We're finding that all over the place. It's amazing to me what's in the fine print as far as when you sign up for the military. They are allowed to inject you with whatever they want. And you're not allowed to ask questions. You just have to accept it.
Yep, and that was the Supreme Court case that I was involved in back in the early 80s. And the Supreme Court ruled against the guy who brought suit. And when we read every justice and what they wrote about it, it boiled down to money. That they didn't want to have to pay restitution to all the people that had, and this was a great case because the guy got a questionnaire in the mail and he was the sheriff's deputy, and you know, down south somewhere. He didn't even know they had put the drugs in his food. They sent him a questionnaire and he became so angry about it that he sued. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled against him, and their reason was money. They didn't want to have to pay restitution to the soldiers that they had used as guinea pigs.
Okay.
Now, as a professional soldier, to me, that is the first mark of the end of a society. Because the end of freedom, that is the end of freedom. And now, 30 years later, they're going to ask people to inject an electronic chip into their body. Wow. I'm amazed. I'm sorry. Well, I'm off topic. I'm sorry about that.
No, That's okay. What I would like to do is I would like to announce that I would like to continue this conversation again next Friday at the same time, 10:40 to 12:00. Pacific time. And if you would like to continue to participate, I would invite you to call in and bring your friends and come back and discuss this on a deeper level. smart today. Chris, you put your hands up. Do you have some other comments or questions that you wanted to make?
Why, yes, if you don't mind. I was admiring Michael's contributions and his recent experience. Mine goes back much farther, being from 546 military police attached to CID and several law enforcement jurisdictions. But what we're speaking of specifically is psychological manipulative programming that occurs from the basic training concepts to instill what they claim to be esprit de corps, the spirit of the body. And these are specifically psychologically contrived programs to breed a sense of dependence and interdependence between the members of the body to where they are a cohesive unit to be able to be used in any fashion that whoever controls the body has the mindset to do. Unfortunately, those who control the body or have no interest in the body whatsoever, and they merely use them as useful idiots to carry out their malicious, psychopathic agendas of global annihilation and of eradication of certain elements of society that they deem to be non-useful, and in fact particularly useful to be eliminated, such as white America, black America, and Mexican America, so that they can remove them from this country and reduce their populations in a form of genocide. But it's not open and overt, so it's very difficult to discern for those who are not looking with clear eyes.
Well, yes, exactly. My own personal experience was with abusive parents. And in one sense, I was extremely lucky that I was passed around from family to family in my youth because I did not gain a solid attachment to my abusers the way that, for instance, Patty Hearst did. Because I was too young to understand certain things. But by being passed from family to family, I was, because this was not an overt action, it wasn't something planned. These people didn't know they didn't know what they were doing to create that kind of psychological dependence that's required. I was very lucky. And I recognized these manipulative patterns as a teenager. Now, I didn't know what they were exactly. But because of my personal experience, I was able to look back and see a little bit of what was going on.
When one grasps that many of these schemes emanate directly from the Talmudic Satanist communist cults which pervade the world, the worshipers of Satan and Lucifer, Ra, Ka, and many other forms of pagan gods who have demoniac elements to their personas, it is not without acknowledgement for those who are abused that there is something incredibly wrong with what is being done to them, although they may not be totally aware of how to explain or to account for the abuse that's being foisted upon them. But eventually they wake up and they are able to realize precisely that it was specifically wrong and outside the ordinary and not normal. And so they look to escape it and to achieve some freedom of choice in who they choose to relate with and to have their shared intimacies with that may have been forced upon them precedingly.
Right. Well, this whole Stockholm syndrome, I mean, if the basis of the psychological manipulation is recognized, then we can avoid those relationships in our personal life. For instance, I'm going to mute your mic there a little bit, Chris, for just a minute. any kind of activity that you're involved in, whether it be on your computer or ruffling papers or anything, both of yours, Michael's and Chris's, your mics are very powerful and they're picking those things up. So, a boss, a teacher, a parent, all of those things, all of those people, now teachers to a little less of a degree, bosses, we depend on them for our income. Depending on the scarcity of jobs, especially in our own particular field, we could be more afraid for our jobs. Government. How many people are on Social Security and are dependent on the government for their source of income? How does that affect their feelings towards that provider? What can that provider get away with after they've established the fact that you need them? Powerful people in powerful positions can be manipulative. They can also be manipulated from an even higher level. And I speak speak now of politicians, president. How is a president manipulated into making certain decisions that may or may not be the right one for us as the ones who look up to the government? There's so much going on these days. How can anybody keep track? Michael, I'm gonna put you guys' mics live back and forth here, so I'll just address you.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any comment about that one bit? All right.
Everything you're talking about, I've considered much more urgent, with much more urgency. I have a website and a society about it, and we're doing a lot of work in the area. And I mean, when you're talking about the politicians, they're owned by the donors. So you break down the donors and yada yada yada, we can go there. But there's one thing I would like to add at this point is, have they broken down the is everybody in America living under the Stockholm syndrome to some degree? And are they leaving out of the media the fact that hundreds of millions of people in the world are hoping that the American people will wake up and take back control of what was once the most hopeful government and hopeful system ever in the history of mankind?
I absolutely agree with that. Absolutely agree with that. I think that the world is looking up to the United States to be the one. The people in the United States have more power than they could possibly realize. And this is the part that we try to focus on that on a constant basis on this program. See the power. See the letter C, T-H-E-P-O-W-E-R. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and search on that. You can come to Freedomizer Radio and go to the calendar section and find out when our programs are. This is a subject we focus on continually, teaching people about their own personal power. I want people to get back in touch with their personal power. They have been weakened by the media. They have been weakened by the public school system.
We got played.
We've been played.
We got punked. and we didn't get punked as much as the 535 Congress people. And the, you know, and that's why where I'm at personally in the work that I'm doing is I'm working at selling civility and selling citizenship, that it's okay to get involved. It's okay to walk up to the mayor's office and find out. It's okay to run for an office in your town. We're going to have to get it back. If we don't get it back, we're going to let down billions of people because they were hoping that the justice that we attach to that flag that we're waving is real. But what they're seeing is something totally different. When the polls show that 85% of America does not want us in war, and we are in war constantly, then there has been a separation between the bureaucrats, the government, and the people of the United States. And you know, I mean, I'm just telling you where I'm at real quick. So it's just, it's we're going after, you know, citizenship. Get involved. Learn who your neighbor is. Be civil. Say please. Say thank you. We've been in the Stockholm syndrome that we are in, the fear that we have been fed over and over and over in the media. We have forgot to walk up to our neighbors and say hello. We have forgot to say thank you to the clerk in the store. If we don't bring civility back and reconnect right where we live and right who we are, they will win, and we will end up being a pit bull for the powers that be.
Exactly. Very well put. Michael, thank you so much for calling in today. Your insight and your speaking ability, I don't have that. And I certainly appreciate your input and some of the thoughts that you've brought up. So thank you very much. I'm gonna ask Chris to come back on and offer any additional comments.
Well, I concur about your observations about Michael, and I hope you would give him the opportunity to share his website information so those who seek to be more participatory in their government can learn from his site and employ those tactics that he's suggesting. I would further suggest... Go ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would also suggest that this is precisely the plot that was set forth in the Harvard Economics School treatise called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars that was produced there by a grant from Rockefeller, which was composed from the technocratic school of the Tavistockian and Austrian schools of Frankfurt and Austria, and the geneticists like Margaret Singer, who have put forth these concepts of using economics as weapons of mass destruction against the people and food, sciences, technology, weather, water, food, air, are all being used as forms of weapons against us. We are under attack. This is a war, but it's not the form of war that most of us recognize as war. It is a war by technocracy. And I thank you so much for this evocative and provocative show today. It has been a pleasure contributing with both of you.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris. I would invite both of you guys to come back with us next Friday. See, what happens for me because of my the brain event that took place in my life is that I find it very difficult to prepare ahead of time. One of the other things that I do here at Freedomizer Radio on my show, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 10 in the morning, and also I host a show on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Pacific time, is I wait oftentimes for spirit to move me. And I use my, and, you know, I'll loosely call them my angels, my guides, my higher consciousness, my higher self, And I am open for the 24 hours before my show for a subject to drop in my lap. And this subject was dropped in my lap at 10 o'clock last night. So that one thing that doesn't give me a lot of time to do is to study the topic specifically as it relates to other people. I can only bring to the table my own personal experience of the subject that's been lifted into my consciousness. So, and because the subject is so far-reaching and so, it's such a hot topic, I would like to continue it next week as well. So please feel free to do that. We're at the top of the hour. I would ask Michael and Chris if they would hang on there. We have to take another commercial break and share with you some of the other shows that are here at Freedomizer Radio and how it works here at Freedomizer Radio so that you can participate as fully as you would like. So we'll be back in just a few minutes and continue this wonderful conversation. Thank you very much to my callers.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Growth Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
Check us out at freedomizerradio.com. And at the top of the page, you'll find a button for FR Tour, Freedomizer Radio Tour. That's a tour of our website, and you will find a calendar there so that you can find the various programs that you have been listening to and find out when they will be airing again. You can also find under FR Tour our archive list so that you can share links with other people on programs that you have heard here at Freedomizer Radio that you find provocative and would like to share with them and have them come by and participate. So thank you very much. And if you have any questions, please come by and drop questions in the chat room. There's almost always somebody there who can help and direct you. So thank you very much for tuning in. And I'd like to thank our callers today, Chris and Michael. You guys have both contributed an awful lot to this conversation already, and we still have more. So let's pick it up and discuss this some more. Michael, you said that your family has, is it military and both law enforcement involvement?
Yeah, but there's much. I mean, I spent 5 years in D.C. banging against courts and in the Supreme Court cases. And
I'm sorry. I don't want it to get away from the audience, and I really would like for you to share your website address.
Okay. First, the website, there's two of them. Now, and I'd like to put this in because it's important, because Freedomizer is a great station. They've done a great job. There is an illusion of separation where all of the great shows on Blog Talk, they never connect to each other. And we all need to connect to each other. This is important. This is a professional, technological game that they're playing against us, and that's what Chris was talking about. It's happening. If I run a show, somebody gets jealous of my show, and then we never connect. We need to connect. So what I built was the civilistsociety.org for the adults and civilicious.com for the kids to talk about civility and to become a civilist. Civilicious is delicious. And to teach people citizenship and things like that. Now, just so it's clear to everybody here, because there's always some conflict in the illusion of separation. This is a model. If anybody wants to build a site like this, I can help them. I have servers, I have everything, or I can tell them what I did and they can do it on their own. But we need to build real connection points where we can start taking these issues apart and building solutions from the people of the United States and initiate the mandate that we legally have. I mean,
exactly.
I've got project management software on the civilist.com where 20 or 30 or 100 people could get involved in any situation and professionally go after that problem just like any big corporation does. They have the power. They have the money. They are stomping all over us and our rights in the name of profits. They have made laws that it's illegal for them not to lie on the media in the name of protecting their shareholders. They have laws that it's illegal for them not to destroy our ecosystem in the name of protecting the shareholders. They are crazy. We need now, Joe, Mary, Tom, and all of our friends are not crazy. So all I've tried to do is build a model for everybody to use. And
okay.
So when they go there, it's the civilistsociety.org. And CIVILISTSOCIETY.org.
Okay, that was where I went wrong, because I went looking for it. I spelled it the way that I thought it should be spelled, and okay, good. Thank you.
And that's a model, and this is like 2 years I've been banging my head against all these different shows. We've got to I've met some of, like Chris. We have met some of the most brilliant people America has right here on Blog Talk. But it is no accident that it's very hard for us to connect. It's not an accident.
No, it's not an accident. And one of the things that I jump up and down all the time about, people say that Facebook brings people together. No, I'm sorry. It really doesn't. It creates an illusion of bringing people together.
For their profit. They are a marketing and advertising company. That's all they are.
Absolutely.
And that's all Google is. You know, and they started out as something different, and they sold themselves to make us feel better as something different. Facebook's ads will make you feel better by going there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? What's happening here, and that's why... And I don't mean to be an alarmist, because I don't believe on staying on the corner, pointing at the sky and screaming that the sky is falling. We have some really serious problems, and the only obstacle, the primary obstacle we have, is the American people hooking together. Now, I write code. I'm a software developer. I've been on the web since 1995. I have seen them systematically take out small web companies to make it in, to make it harder for the public to connect.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about conspiracy theory. I'm talking about business. This is business. I own a web design business, and I've been doing it for many years. Since the web came on, to me, it was the key to getting a democratic republic back in place so that humanity can have a voice in their future. America was formed with under that spirit. Now, think about that. We've got the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. If you read them, they are awesome. But how long did it take to even get the women's right to vote? And the racism, the black right to vote. It was over 100 years before we actually started doing what it says to do in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said.
Yeah, we have a wonderful opportunity.
Well, this is a very exciting time that we are living in. Because of the wide range of information available to everyone, we are developing a whole new way of looking at things. And I appreciate the fact that Freedomizer Radio has provided us with the opportunity. I'm going to mute your mics again, fellas. I'm hearing some scratching noises going on. We have a wonderful opportunity here at Freedomizer Radio to come together and join forces. I think it's one of the huge benefits that we have here at Freedomizer Radio. We have a diverse group of people providing a diverse group, diverse topics. See the power. We really focus on the things like Michael was talking about, developing community, recognition of your own personal power, bringing up topics like this so that even those who are aware of what's going on as far as the New World Order and what my dear friend Cookie likes to call the Red Team. While you are out there and beginning to recognize some of the things that are going on out there, See the Power is about taking those subjects and peeling some of the layers off so that you can start to recognize those things for yourself and providing you also with the tools that you need in order to live a more full life, a healthier life, to connect better with your community, people in your community. We had an incredible show last Saturday on homeschooling. Absolutely incredible. And the response to that show was phenomenal. People are dying to understand how to operate better in their world. And that's what we hope to do here at Freedomizer Radio. And having other people from other shows come and be guests on our programs here gives us some cross-pollination so that we can become a more well-rounded individual in our community. Because it's horrible when you find out what your government has been doing in the background. We all know about false flags, which is another thing that creates this whole Stockholm syndrome. The president went out and he ordered a hit on the bad guy, and he saved us. When we put the bad guy in a position to be a threat in the first place, we need to become aware of all of these implications and how they affect our lives on all of these different levels. So I've made you guys' mics live again. Let's see if we can continue here a little bit.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to admire Michael's motivation and his dedication to these projects and perhaps offer a ring of help. There is a great awakening that's occurring in America, and many Americans are waking up and actually taking this participatory role in government and grasping the concept that we have more alike between us than we have that separates us, never mind the colors of our skin or the countries that we emanate from. So we celebrate our divergency and draw power from that differences of information and intelligence that we've acquired. On the rod-class.com site, there is a great awakening of the spirit of law to try to restore the true law of the American Republic here on this country, as opposed to the foreign form of Talmudic legalese that has supplanted our true law, that may offer some solutions for those seeking to find remedy in the true small d, small c district courts of the United States under the Article III General Justice Courts, with true law as opposed to these mere fictions of law that have supplanted it. And this is by, there's also setoffdebt.com that provides a basic foundational premise for understanding that we the people are the sovereigns that are ruled by our sovereign, the Creator, and we created the Constitution, the rules which govern this country, by our elected servants who are supposed to serve us, who fall below the Constitution and are supposed to be controlled and kept in check by that Constitution and the laws of the land. So by these methodologies, we can retake control, throw out this unlawful American Bar Association, National Trial Lawyers Association, this cabal of monopolistic tyrants who rule the courts with their Club of Rome and Club of the Crown and the Club of the Talmudists, and get them back in check and throw these impersonators out, because they have no right to have that conspiracy to rule the law system in America. It's supposed to be we the people ruling and seizing control of our own responsibilities to take over and take back that form of true law and throw these imposters out.
Exactly, exactly. One of the subjects that's been brought up in the last in this last segment is that we need to get back to being involved in our local community. We need to feel comfortable approaching a police officer. There has been a lot of fear that has been associated, and rightfully so, in some instances, where police officers have overstepped their boundaries and gone completely wacko, killing people, maiming people, and they're not held responsible. And when that is seen by the general public, and then it's publicized and the media runs around with it, it creates fear. So the government has created this sense of, we are your protectors. We're here to help you. But yet on other levels, those same officials are seen by the public as someone to fear, to be afraid of. We need to get over our fear. We need to recognize our own personal self-worth and what we have to contribute my friend Miss Cookie, she gave me an example. When her children were in school, this was before she began homeschooling her children, she was sent home a notice that her children were going to be given fluoride tablets. And she objected. And they said, well, we're going to give them. And she said, no, you're not. And if you do, against my wishes, I will take you to court. Because what she did is she went back and she did the research and found out what fluoride is, finding out that it is a poison, finding out that it causes this various symptom and that various symptom and that various symptom. And if you want to know what those are, please just go do the research yourself. I don't need to get into all of that. But when she confronted the people at the school and said, if my children come down with A, B, or C, known problem from fluoride ingestion, I will be back here to sue you. When she was taken to the school board and asked why she didn't want her children to have it, and she explained all of those reasons, they did the research and found that there was a danger. That program ended at that school. We have responsibilities when we see something is wrong to step up to the plate. We might have to go beyond a fear that has been implanted in our brain against stepping up. Understand that there's counterintelligence, counter-pro-inco, whatever. You know, they got all kinds of names for that kind of information. Scare people enough about stepping up, about sharing what they believe. And you will create people who will stop stepping up. One of the things that I find very intriguing over this whole Ron Paul phenomena, and I'm calling it a Ron Paul phenomena because the man has given other people hope that they also can step up. And if the man has done absolutely nothing else, he has created that desire in other people to step up and do the right thing. I think more people have gotten involved in politics that may not have ever gotten involved in politics if they had not been exposed to that man's courage. And I hope that that continues. I'm going to take another short commercial break. I hope you two will stick around. It'll be the last break before we end the program at noon. And I'd like to continue this conversation. So hang with me, guys, if you can. And we'll be back after this short commercial message.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
Hey, Bob!
What is it, you buffoon?
It appears there's a new show on Freedomizer Radio.
What? This can't be. Does Lord Rothschild know about it?
Nope. I wasn't going to. I was,
Well, inform him immediately.
But, Bob, there's something you should know.
What is it, you simpleton?
Well, Bob, it's about the host.
Spit it out, man.
Well, Bob, the host is none other than Max Casey from the Black Market Liberty Show.
This can't be. How did this happen?
Attention, all New World
Show with Max Casey, Fridays at 6:30 Central and Saturdays at 8 Central on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey folks, Valerie Sergeant Martin here, rebel agitator, Republican renegade, and host of the Valerie Sergeant Martin Show. Twice weekly, I bring you guests who represent the best and brightest of the liberty movement, including best-selling authors, candidates, and legislators, and everyday activists, all patriots actively involved in taking back control of our government, putting power in the hands of the people where it belongs. We also talk economics, finance, international markets, and monetary policy. Anything and everything to do with free markets and capitalism. So friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and join me Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern and Thursdays 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for the Valerie Sergeant Martin Show. And remember, extremism in defense of liberty is no vice.
During this commercial break, I'm going to announce a new show here at Freedomizer Radio. That's going to be on Sundays at 4 p.m. Pacific time, and I think you're going to have a wonderful surprise. And so I hope you'll tune in. Okay, well, we're back. Our guests call in today, Michael and Chris, thank you very much for your participation. I really appreciate it.
It was our pleasure.
Yeah.
It's nice to have other hosts coming here on Freedomizer Radio, people that do other blog talk shows, and I appreciate that very much. Anytime, a host here at Freedomizer Radio, if you're listening to a show here on Freedomizer Radio and you would like that host to come and participate on your show, please come by and ask them. Call them up. The guest call-in number is 347-324-3704. That's not just for today during this hour. That is Freedomizer's guest call-in number. Plug it into your phone. Listen, when you're out taking a walk, dial in and listen to the show that's going on. Find out what other shows are in line with what your ideals are, what's going on in your life. Call in and participate, because we'd love to have other people coming here and sharing what's going on in their lives based on the subject matter that we've brought up. Joanne Moretti is awesome. She's here 3 to 5, Monday through Thursday, that's Pacific time, sharing what's going on in the world, covering various news articles. And we would love to have you come and listen to what she perceives. She's a wonderful researcher. And she has a little bit of a photographic memory, so to speak. She remembers everything she reads. And she puts together a wonderful puzzle of what's going on in the world. So I hope that you'll tune into that show here at Freedomizer. And I have another caller, Michael and Chris. I'm still experiencing a little auditory disturbance, so in between times here, I'm just going to make your mic live, sporadically and mute you otherwise. So we'll be back with you. And our other caller.
Hello.
Is that Miss Cookie?
Yes, and this is a wonderful subject, and I'd like to make a couple comments, if you don't mind.
I'd love that.
Well, the thing is, I watched your movie about Legend of the Guardian.
Yes.
And, you know, it ties in with this, because when we talk, like, about the individuals that were in the military and that come home and trying to figure out how they fit back in, because they felt they went and did their duty to protect the American people, and yet they were taught to kill, and they did kill, and they came home. Yet at the same time here at home, we have so much going on, and lack of work, lack of food, lack of self-esteem, a lot of things going on. And yet nobody knows how to deal with these individuals coming back with emotional and mental problems, and yet we have a whole country that is having emotional and mental problems. And what's interesting is when you're in the alternative therapy or into the medical, nobody wants to deal with the emotional and mental, but the emotional and mental is where we need to make the change, because our minds are being mind controlled. Our minds are where we're having this disruption. Our minds are where we're having disharmony. Yet our emotions, if we can't keep them in check and be balanced by seeing the plus and the minus side, and acknowledging that when we go on to the minus side, how do you get back to the plus side, or the plus side to the minus side? How do you become harmonic? And what is causing us to become disharmonic? And the things that the military uses, of course, is vaccinations and mind control and microchips, like the one gentleman brought up. A lot of times it's, like you had mentioned, they give them self-esteem and act like, you know, they've been trained for a special purpose, and now they come home, and what is their purpose? It's almost like a housewife raising children, and then after the children leave the nest, now what's her purpose? You know, there's this thing where we need to get together, like I said, and connect, and you know the red team is always trying to cause divisions and trying to separate and have power, and if one team can be stronger than the other team or even give the illusion of that, then the other team just succumbs and gives in to their captors. Well, the thing is, what we have to realize, that our emotions and our minds have the ability with thought and proclamations to be able to turn things around and to acknowledge that each and every one of us are very valuable, very unique, and we all have power, but we have to go within first to develop that, get our self-esteem back, and then reconnect with society and reconnect with other human beings and unite and acknowledge that we all have differences. And in that movie, I noticed that in your movie that you had mentioned to watch the other day, and I did watch it, the red team on that side and the blue team on the Legend of the Guardians, they used electromagnetic fields to disrupt an individual, to zap them of their whole energy so that they couldn't even get up and fight. And, you know, that's what we're being zapped by, and people don't understand that if they don't balance off their electromagnetic fields, because we are electromagnetic, then we lose the contact of our electromagnetic fields from the universe and from the creator. And what ends up happening, we disconnect. And when we disconnect, then we become lost and we feel like we're the only one out there. And then you start isolating yourselves, and then you don't feel you have any strength or any power, and that you kind of just live in your own little world. And so that's why it's really, really important for us to once again acknowledge that it's very important to connect with other human beings. It's very important about diet, smile, breathing. It's very important to give ourselves self-esteem. What's in the past, we cannot do anything about, yet we can learn from the past. We can study the past and acknowledge where we need to go, but we need to get up. Just like a person maybe that was victimized as a child, somewhere along the line, if somebody shows that child love and helps that person realize how valuable they are in their self-esteem, they will stand up and recognize that they were a victim, but they no longer are a victim. They are going to take control and power of their life, and they are not going to give 1 ounce of thought to that perpetrator anymore who has taken away their power. But the one thing they do have to acknowledge is a lot of perpetrators were also victims. And if going on from generation to generation to generation, and there has to be a change. There has to be something different. So by discussing these things, communicating, talking, learning to stand in your power, which is what your program about is, Cheryl, bringing out these subjects, having people come forward and discuss them and acknowledge these things makes us a stronger, stronger nation and helps us get our strengths back and stand up and speak for ourselves and others.
The movie that we're talking about is called Legends of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole, and it's mostly a children's program. It's an animated show, and but the underlying message that is there is very much one of the red team versus the blue team and the New World Order. I did not pick up the thing about the frequency and them using frequency against us. Cookie, you're awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're doing, whether they do it through HAARP, whether they throw aluminum chips in the air from our planes, like the one gentleman said, they're doing it through the air, the water, their food supply, they're doing it from emotional and mental on TV, they're trying to convince us of one thing or another. And one thing we have to understand is my significant other was a police officer for 23 years, and he hung around with other police officers. I got to know them, and I never thought of them as being evil or terrible. But, you know, the thing is, they are also taught to control, and they are put into fearful situations themselves. And yet at the same time, a lot of them all they want is peace, and they want to serve. But the thing is, somewhere along the line, politics comes into play, and the ego comes into play, and abuse comes into play, or fear. And when they go into fear, if they start getting into alcoholism or drugs or drinking, you know, right away when it's something emotional, they don't teach you how to deal with the emotions. They teach you how to take a drug to cover up your emotions and walk around them like a zombie and not feel. And the thing is, we've got to quit numbing society by saying to a person, when a person has an emotional or mental issue, instead of dealing with it, people want to numb it, lock them up, put them away, instead of helping them to understand what it is that's disrupting their whole physical body and why it's disrupting their body and what we can do about it. For example, like I said, if somebody's got microchips in them, guess what? They're not going to be thinking straight, and they are not going to be acting straight, and they are not going to be dealing with things straight. I've seen people with several microchips in them, and once those microchips were done, the person had a total different personality. I've done cranial sacral work where an individual will completely change by releasing the pressure on the brain and getting rid of the past or the negative. I have done proclamations where a person acted like a total crazy person, and when you showed them who they really were, that they're a spirit in a physical body and that they've been abused and they've been programmed and they had this and that, let's just remove it, get rid of it, straighten things out, and let's see the real you. Have you come forth through the veils of illusion? And when the person comes in, they're a total different person. We have the power to do these things as human beings, but you have to be able to want to acknowledge it and be willing to make a change.
And that's sometimes the hardest thing to do, Cookie, is for people to make a change. And we get comfortable even in our misery. I would really like for you, if you don't mind, to find a proclamation for us to share with the audience for today, while I open up the mics again for both Michael and Chris. Could you do that for us, Cookie?
Yep, I'd be glad to.
Okay, thanks so much. That's one of the things we do around here on See the Power. See the power in you. We want you to recognize your power, your own personal power. And one of those ways of expressing that personal power and control over your life and situation is through various proclamations, which Cookie will bring up for us here shortly.
So well, I have one for you if you'd like it right away.
That was quick. Why don't you do that for us, and then we'll ask Michael and Chris to participate further.
The thing that we have to remember that each and every one of us are being programmed, and a lot of the things that we're being taught is a myth or a disbelief, and we took it hook, line, and sinker. Yet at the same time, because we've been taught these things, they're deeply ingrained in us, and then when we acknowledge the truth and learn the truth, then we feel shame and guilt for how we fell for it. But when in actuality, we can't be blaming ourselves, because remember, we have some of the best deceivers out there deceiving us. So what we need to do is put the past in the past, get up and stand firm and say, you know what? I'm going to start paying attention, and I'm going to listen to both sides of the issue, and then I'm going to make a decision. I am not going to take this hook, line, and sinker anymore, and I'm going to do my research. So this is about myths and disbelief, and a myth, of course, is a fiction or a half-truth, especially one that forms part of an ideology. So misperceptions and deception has been instruments to create myths and disbelief in the minds of men, and they are only but another veil of illusion that separates mankind from your divine truth. So this is the proclamation. From the divine love that flows within my being, I command that all laws I have owned, created by misconceptions and confusion, manifesting myths and disbeliefs in my consciousness, be transmuted into truth and understanding and embraced in unconditional love. I open my consciousness to accept only truth from the knowledge and wisdom within, and so it is. And take a deep breath, exhale, and clap your hands.
Oh, thank you. That was lovely. And I often forget to remind people that I have a website, seethepower.org, the letter C, T-H-E-P-O-W-E.org. And this is all about providing information so that you can see the power not only in other people, but in yourself. And you can gain personal strength and become a much better participant in your own community. So, Michael and Chris, I've made both of your mics live again. Do either of you have any further comments?
If you don't mind, I would observe that Cookie is indeed a very smart cookie and very enlightened. Her observations are very accurate, and her ideology or her suggestions she's putting forth, that beliefs are mere contemplations in the minds of men or ideas, and that the word believe has a lie in the middle of it, meaning that it's predicated on a mere perceptual observation contemplated in the mind. The observations regarding the electronic modifications of brain control and psychotronic mind control modifications are especially having impact on those who are sensitive to those things, as emanated from the smart meters and smart grid. I am one who is politically active in trying to suppress that insidious military mind control device and perhaps eradication device, because it is suggested as a military weapon of mass destruction. These smart meters can transmit signals that would psychologically torture you or discombobulate your brain and actually kill you through their transmissions if they so desire to deploy that particular aspect of it.
Well, I know that there are a lot of dangers, and I've heard a lot of people that have shared information regarding smart meters and how those, after installation of those meters, things have changed in their environment. For instance,
Bee populations have left areas where smart meters have been installed. People have had their sleep disrupted. Okay, Chris, I'm sorry. I had to mute your mic. We've got some kind of little audio disturbance there. The interesting thing is this is not about conspiracy theory. This is not about what nefarious, sorry, I tend to lose words at times. My brain just kind of disappears. What are the motives? We can spend hours and hours trying to figure out what motives there are. My son brought up the other day, said something about coding in the television and how that's something that might be happening. And I said, of course it's happening. And he said, I knew you would say that because he knows that I kind of delve into these things. Now, are those things being used nefariously? Probably. Can they be? Definitely. Are they? I don't know. These are all things for us to be aware of. It's important for us to be aware of these situations, of what can be done so that we are better prepared. And some of the proclamations that Cookie has helped us with over various programs, and you can go back and find them in the archives, search on See the Power at Blog Talk for anything longer, further back than 10 days. The last 10 days or so programs are listed on our archive list at freedomizerradio.com under FR Tour. There's a drop-down menu there for archives and for the calendar. And we hope that you will join us next week here in continuing this conversation and perhaps opening it up to deeper levels, sharing any personal experiences that you have as we start to peel away these layers. It's a huge subject, and I don't think we can cover it in 2 hours. And I would love for people to bring others who might have personal experience in the military, because I think that is a big one. It's a big one to cover. Michael, I was still, for some reason, unable to pull up that website. Can you spell it out for us again?
A civilist, as in civil, CIVILISTSOCIETY.org.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And if you know what, if you go to Civilicious, if you can remember Civilicious is delicious, you can go to Civilicious.com, and it'll take you to, it. You know, I have a link there. It's pretty clear that goes to the main site. You know, Civilicious, civility. That's what I'm after. And I took the word civilist used to mean, you know, a lawyer was a civilist, but the word has became, it's dropped out. It's not being used that way anymore, so I took it. And I'm trying to use it as a way to prevent what's happening and what's, I think a lot of people, before I forget, I hooked into Cookie about a week ago into one of her shows, and I hooked, yeah. I got, now since I'm a, I went through Buddhism and I went through the full 8 years of removing the ego and everything. So I hooked all the way into her, and she is spot on. I mean, she is right on more than people would know if they can truly believe and remove any negative feelings about what she does. You will be hooked up to everyone else that's doing her stuff when she's doing it. So, you know, I mean, that's fantastic. But another point, you're coming near the end, and I would like to remind everyone that it's not the government. It's the corporations set out in 1985 to take over the United States government. As of 2012, almost every law that's made into law in the Congress and in Washington, D.C. now is written by a corporation and rubber-stamped by our congresspeople. They don't even read the laws. We are in trouble. The corporation's goal, when you said what is the goal is to legally steal all of the things that are supposed to be owned by the public and in the public domain, convert all of that property into their private property, and then they will take over everything. They're going to take over the airwaves. They're going to take over everything, and they're going to use every trick in the book that were developed with our tax dollars and are now the property of the American people. The corporations are stealing these programs and making them private property. That's what I said. You know, the word – I'm not an alarmist at all. I am a chess player, and the game is they have every intention of taking over very soon. Now, whether that, how much that will affect our personal lives is yet to be seen. But my goal has been for 20 years to prevent there from being bloodshed and to try and figure a way that people will connect together so that we can use the power of mandate and the powers that we have to take back what is ours. And, you know, along the road, there's a lot of secret stuff that we have on our side, but we surely don't want to put it out there yet until we do hook up together. But it's, there's more, they pillaged the Treasury in 08, and they, every single day, they're taking more away. And so the, you know, what we call our government is, you know, that bureaucracy has pretty much been bought and paid for, and it's being paid for still by us, because we produce and deliver products and services. That's where the wealth is created. All the wealth they get comes from our work. We do have a voice. Okay, I don't want to go any farther into that. But I would like to tell you my little, what she call it? I call it a mantra.
Oh, the proclamation?
Yeah, I've got a, her proclamations are awesome, but I got a little proclamation that I use. I am love, I am joy, I am health, I am wealth, let me show you how great I am. And then just playing it up, you know, when I'm down, when I'm getting beat up by the bureaucrats, when I'm in a battle, I mean, I just like, boom, I just say this over and over to try and, they're trying to brainwash me into their crap. And so, you know, that's what I used to try and keep a hold of what God made, which was me.
Exactly.
So, if you know, I'd like to, I'm going to start looking about how to get a hold of Cookie so I can connect. I'll go to your website, see the power. The websites that Chris put up there, rod-class.com,
yes,
or didn't come up, so I don't know how to get a hold of him, but I'm really interested in helping him with his to bring that device to work again, to, if I can.
Okay, Chris, would you spell that website, please, so that our listeners and Michael can find a way to get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, that, I'm not on that site particularly, but I do participate in that site. It's ROD, Rod, hyphen, class, CLASS.com. And if you search that one, you'll definitely find it. Another great one is freedom-school.com. And there's wonderful information at both those places. Rod is the one who has sued the Department of Motor Vehicles in North Carolina and doing a fabulous job in it, because they are all private foreign-owned corporations for private profits that are posing as public facilities and getting public funds and stealing money from the people by declaring all people as commercial operators. That's why you have the all caps name on your driver's license in lieu of the upper letter capitalized first initial with the small case letters following, which is the natural way a natural person would autograph their own private name in lieu of a corporate fictitious entity that the state has created to extort your money under the pretense of schemes of classifying you as a commercial operator. He's looking for compensation ad infinitum from the time of initiation of his license through today for being compensated 24/7, 365 as a commercial operator.
Okay. Michael and Cookie, with your permission, I would just like your permission to hook the two of you up.
That would be great. I would love it.
Okay. I'll take care of that after the show. So thank you very much for participating.
Perhaps you could share my information with Michael and Cookie also. I'm a pretty politically active and a law knowledgeable guy and prone to being involved.
I would enjoy that also.
Okay. Okay.
But
done
just
deal.
Remember, I don't do computer things, so she'll have to give you my number, and you're welcome to call anytime.
I'd be pleasured to communicate with you, and hearing a voice is so much better than a virtual experience via the computer because you can discern a certain amount of the, we'll call it the truth and the nature of the voice of the person you're communicating with. Not quite as good as looking them in the eye, but the next best thing is hearing the quality and the truth in their voice.
I agree.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was saying that Facebook kind of separates people, because they start to get into a mode where this flat, two-dimensional conversation goes on, and we lose that personal touch that comes from connecting with someone's voice or connecting with someone's face.
And remember, our voice carries a frequency, and because our voice carries a frequency, if there's truth and justice and compassion and fellow feeling behind it, that's why our voice is so powerful, and our words are so powerful, and our thought is so powerful, whether you do it in a mantra or in a proclamation, because what we put out, we get back, and by putting it out, it doesn't come back without a result. So when the results go out there, then if our intent is to be connected, once you connect, then you build up a great foundation where we can have strength and power for the people.
Exactly. If you're resonating with what's been going on this show today, I hope that you will join us at other times during the week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 in the morning. And Cookie is my lovely co-host, so I have the privilege of listening to her voice and her truth 4 times a week at least on a minimum, because I can't get enough of Miss Cookie, and I'm on the phone to her at least a couple more times during the week. And also on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Pacific time. The new show that I was talking about earlier is someone who also resonates with both Cookie and I on a very deep level, and I'm still going to leave that as a surprise. I hope you'll tune in on Sunday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. So thank you to both of our callers. I've muted your mic again for the static, and I'm going to say thank you for calling in today on this very important topic. I hope that you will go out, bring friends, and come back next Friday at the same time, 10 to 12 Pacific time, and continue on with this conversation. Discuss how bosses, parents, religion, government, military use those tools of the Stockholm Syndrome to manipulate their charges, creating that dependency creating that dependency for approval for any little bit of attention. Why does Facebook have a like comment? How important is it for things that you put on Facebook for people to like it? Are you creating a dependency on other people liking you? These are all very interesting subjects. I want to give credit where credit was due. The article, I did a lot of searching this morning on the Stockholm Syndrome. The article that I read for you is uncommon. The website is uncommon-knowledge.co.uk under psychology articles, the Stockholm Syndrome. You can probably do a search on that particular subject. Mark Tyrell. T-Y-L-L is the gentleman that wrote that article, and I hope to contact him and ask him to come and participate on our show and share some more in depth on this subject. So thank you all for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio today. It's been an absolute delight. Thank you very much to the callers. FreedomizerRadio.com. And thank you very much. God bless everyone. Our next show, our next live show comes on at 1:30 Pacific time. We have a little bit of a break here. And it is the Watchers Prophecy Network. And special guest today is Stan Deo. So stay tuned. Take care and God bless. Bye, Cookie.
Bye-bye, hon.
Love you.